Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, Donald Trump hasn't been arrested yet, even though he said it would happen yesterday. We'll let you know today, obviously, if that happens. But in the UK, Boris Johnson is facing a grilling by a committee of MPs on whether he intentionally misled Parliament over lockdown-era parties. At the start of the session this afternoon, Boris Johnson insisted he did not lie to the House of Commons and always made statements in good faith.
There were a number of days over a period of 20 months when gatherings took place in Downing Street that went past the point where they could be said to be necessary for work purposes. That was wrong. I bitterly regret it. I understand public anger, and I continue to apologise for what happened on my watch. I am here to say to you, hand on heart, that I did not lie to the House. When those statements were made, they were made in good faith and on the basis of what I honestly knew and believed at the time.
So some contrition there. I'm joined in the line now by Kevin Maguire, who's an associate editor with the Mirror newspaper. Kevin, you're very welcome to the programme. My goodness, it's not easy listening or watching, is it?
No, it's not, Cormac. It's still going now. I can see it on my screen. Started at 2 o'clock, two interruptions for voting, but it's like pulling teeth. There aren't any fireworks as such because the former Prime Minister Boris Johnson is trying to behave, but he's getting an intense grilling at times, not least from Bernard Jenkin, one of his own party's MPs, about events he attended. But he's given nothing. Hand on heart, he said. Mm-hmm. He didn't lie. He has a long history of lying.
Yeah, exactly. And law-breaking as well. There was some contrition as we played at the start, Kevin. But he did come with all guns blazing, so to speak. Despite, you're right, he's trying to behave. But let's have a listen to Boris Johnson at the start. In his opening statement, he came and he criticised the committee's approach, including not publishing Sue Gray's entire report.
The best and fairest course now would be for the committee to publish all the evidence it has assembled so that Parliament and public can judge for themselves. Despite my repeated requests, the committee has refused to do this. As investigator, prosecutor, judge and jury, it has elected only to publish the evidence which it considers incriminating and not the evidence which I rely on and which answers the charges.
Now, Kevin, the chair here, Harriet Harman, and that was a bone of contention for Boris Johnson as well, that she was a chair, I think. But she explained later why the inquiry decided not to publish the entire report. Can you let us know why?
Yeah. So some information is confidential. You have to have the agreement of the people who were interviewed, knowing that it could be made public. So she knocked him back quite firmly. Now, of course, Boris Johnson has a lawyer sitting alongside him and has had £220,000 of public money to prepare his defence. So if there's anything he believes that may somehow clear him, he would have been entitled to go to those people, those civil servants, those advisers, and get it himself. Mm. It's quite it was an interesting line from him. I think it's called trying to muddy the waters.
Yeah, but there's no muddying the waters when they play clips of himself to himself just at the very start. I found that very amusing, Kevin. It was excruciating to watch, and they kind of juxtaposed what he said in Parliament to what actually the rules were and so on. I don't know how that went down.
Yeah, it was very powerful. Watching him, he tried not to flinch, but you could see the case being made out there that he was breaking the rules and breaking the guidance, which, of course, when he says it has been broken, he's throwing somebody else under the bus for it. And he claims he corrected the record in Parliament as quickly as he could. That is very much disputed because he maintained the line that, one, there were no parties, then, two, if they were parties, they were compliant with the social rules. Mm-hmm. Time after time in Parliament. No, that was an incredibly strong prosecution case, and I don't think so far he's been able to refute that.
You mentioned Bernard Jenkin, his fellow Conservative MP. He questioned Boris Johnson, as you said, about one of the gatherings, I think in November 2020. And Boris Johnson insisted that the party, which was a leaving do, I think, for a member of staff, was absolutely essential for work purposes. Just so people get a taste of this, we'll talk about it afterwards. Have a listen to this.
We know it was a leaving event for a member of staff. The photographs we've just seen do not seem to show any actual work being done. Why did it not occur to you that it at least might have been in breach of the regulations, at least because it was not reasonably necessary for work purposes?
Did you say it occurred to me that it might not be reasonably necessary for work purposes?
Yes.
No, it didn't occur to me for 1 second that it wasn't reasonably necessary for work purposes.
How do you think that'll go down, Kevin? He's saying this was essential.
Not believable, because he did suggest that unsocially distanced farewell gatherings were allowed. I know from my own workplace at the time they were not considered to be allowed, were not thought to be allowed. So he's kind of creating his own reality. But Bernard Jenkin was having none of it, and I think that is one of the problems for Boris Johnson here. That committee has seven people, as a Labour chair in Harriet Harman, but it has a Tory majority, four. Now, if the two Labour MPs and the SNP MP are pretty tough on him, because there's always an element of party politics in here, it only takes one Conservative MP to actually decide that he has deliberately misled MPs and he is in serious trouble.
And what are the consequences for him if that's what they decide?
It has to go to a vote of the full House of Commons on a free vote. But the consequences are they could suspend him as an MP. If he is suspended for 10 sitting days, 2 weeks, then that can trigger a by-election in his Uxbridge constituency if 10% of the electorate decide they want a by-election in what's called a recall ballot.
God.
So
what
it's high stakes for Johnson.
It's an unbelievable fall from grace for a former Prime Minister, isn't it?
It is, and watching it today, there is the real air, and I think this is probably the first time, because he was very defiant when he left Downing Street. Then, of course, he did think of standing and returned from holiday when Liz Truss collapsed. Mm-hmm. But looking at him now, there is that feeling of being yesterday's man.
I get the sense as well, and I'm watching him on the screen here, and he's full of the hand gestures, Kevin, and so on, but I get the sense as well from how serious and how solemn the questioning MPs are, especially his enemies, let's say, political enemies. Am I right in saying that they sense that this is the time to get him?
Yes. I think he's lost a lot of support on the conservative side. He does have some diehard supporters, disciples, really. But I think it's a very fact-based session. And it seems the inquisitors, the seven MPs, are relying on facts somewhat more than the Prime Minister or former Prime Minister here. I think he is in serious trouble, because he has not given up hope of a comeback, and he thinks he can replace Rishi Sunak. And in fact, there was one of the suspensions of the committee was to vote on the Windsor framework and the Brexit agreement involving Northern Ireland and Ireland itself. And he voted against Rishi Sunak. He was only 22 Tory MPs who voted against Sunak, and one of them was Boris Johnson, the other one was Liz Truss.
Well, look,
former Prime Minister.
Don't ruin that for us. We're waiting with bated breath to discuss that a little bit later on in the programme. I'll leave you with this text from Ed, Kevin, who says, does Boris really expect people to believe that a guy who was once a member of the Bullingdon Club doesn't know a party when he sees one? There you go.
Yeah.
You can use that in your...
I might, actually. Use it as my own. He has enormous self-belief, and he has a history of trying to create his own reality. That might be just running out of road today watching this.
Well, let's see. Kevin McGuire, Associate Editor with the Mirror newspaper. Thank you very much indeed.